Hello, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
To the Empowered Family Caregiver Podcast. My name is Tandy Alasala, and I am your host. Today, we are talking about something that I get a lot from. I hear a lot about is how to get family to help. So if you struggle to get family to help to take care of your loved one, I have 5 tips for you today. You know, sometimes when we are doing our very best to take care of our loved ones, sometimes people can think that we're doing such a great job and we're not complaining, so maybe we don't need help. Other times, family or friends are busy living their lives, and they don't necessarily stop to think about your needs as a caregiver. One of the biggest things we can do for ourselves and our loved ones is to ask for help. So don't wait until you're overwhelmed and exhausted to ask for help. Here are my 5 best tips for getting family to help so you can stress less. The first tip, be prepared with a list of ways that others can support you. If someone asks how they can help, bring out your virtual electronic or notepad of things and ask for help with a specific item. So be prepared with a list of very specific ways that others can help. Increases the likelihood that A, you'll ask for what it is you specifically need when you need it, and B, that you'll receive the help you need. Often people want to help, they just don't know what you need. It's up to you to tell them how they can best help. And when you're overwhelmed and barraged with the day-to-day responsibilities of caregiving, asking for help, sometimes you don't even know which end is up, what day it is, what hour it is, and asking for help can seem like the last thing on your mind because you don't even oftentimes know what you need. So when you're in a calmer state, write down, like I said, using whatever device you use, electronic or paper, and just jot some things down. So here are some ideas to get you started, okay? I've got a list of 15 things that people local to you, I'm going to talk a little bit about those that maybe live afar, those that are local to you. First thing they could help you with is to take the person that you're caring for on a walk on a little local trip, several days a week. Number 2, they could pick up a few things for you at the grocery store. Number 3, they could do your lawn or gardening. Number 4, they could open your mail or separate the piles. Organizing the mounds of paperwork is huge, and it can paralyze us. So that's a huge one that you could get some help with. Number 5 is offer respite by sitting with your loved one while you nap, or go to the doctor, or the store, or a movie, or someplace else that you enjoy. Number 6, taking the kids for a night or a weekend. Number 7, getting your car oil changed or car wash. Number 8, picking up the kids from school or taking them wherever they need to be. Number 9, assisting with doctor's visits. Number 10, clean the house. I saw a meme today that was relevant for new parents, but I thought it was adorable. And it said that people often say when you have a new baby to sleep when the baby sleeps. And this mom said, great, does that mean that I can clean when the baby cleans? or cook when the baby cooks? So I just thought that was kind of interesting. But cleaning the house is a huge thing that we need done, and it can create, some energetic challenges for us when the house isn't in order. Number 11, change the bed sheets. Number 12, you could have somebody review the physical environment for safety. Number 13, you can have them make calls on your behalf, maybe making some follow-up calls or requesting, you know, appointments or anything like that. Number 14, they can run errands. And 15, if you have a dog, they can dog walk. Now, for family members or friends that live far away, here are some things that, nine things that I have found incredibly helpful that people can help with. One is filling out insurance paperwork. Number two is making calls for you or your loved one. Now, sometimes the places that need to be called only will talk to the power of attorney, the advanced medical directive, et cetera. So you might be the only one, those calls, but there might be other calls that can be made. Number three, scheduling appointments. Number four, updating finances or banking information. Number five, they can draft letters. There are countless letters, particularly where insurance is concerned, that sometimes need to be taken care of. Number six, do taxes. Number seven, if money is needed, ask someone to create or coordinate a fundraiser for the family, such as via an in-person event or using an online tool. Crowdfunding campaigns such as Give Forward, GoFundMe, and You Caring can be great sources of financial relief for you and your caree. Number eight, setting time aside to visit or call your loved one periodically. That can really be a huge help, you know, to have somebody, have a loved one call and talk to them. And nine, they can send you and your loved one handwritten messages of support. So those are some things that can help with. So now that you've got, you know, at least some ideas generated, you can keep drafting, keep writing. Tip number two is to choose who to ask for help and what to ask them for based on their time, their preferences, their location, their strengths, and their abilities. So, for example, if Uncle Bob hates anything related to money, doesn't balance his checkbook or anything like that, asking him to do the taxes or reconcile statements probably wouldn't be the best move. He might be really articulate and an excellent writer, so asking him to write letters, or maybe Bob does a great job doing research and you need some research done, so he might be the best person to ask for that. Or perhaps Aunt Mary hates shopping, so she's not the one to ask for to go do a grocery store run, let me tell you. But maybe your brother works 80 hours a week, has a family, and lives 2 hours away, so he's perhaps not the one to ask for things that require a lot of travel. So identify who has asked or offered to help in the past, yet you didn't have anything specific in mind, and keep in mind their strengths and the time they have and their preferences, their abilities, their location. And now you are armed with your list. You can find 1 to 3 options for each person and go forth and ask. Tip number three. Be specific when asking for help. So one of the biggest things I hear a lot from caregivers as it relates to asking for help is how to ask. Here are some tips to help assert yourself. So number one, timing is everything. So pick the right time. If somebody, you know, is home or in a grouchy mood or the kids are yelling in the background, that's probably not the best time to make an ask. Number two, avoid being passive with your request. Things like, oh, it's just a thought, but would, you know, I was thinking it would be great if I could go to church and, you know, if it's not too much trouble, could you maybe come sit with Mom? No. say, I would like to go to church on Sunday. Would you please stay with mom from 9 to 11 or whatever the time frame? Be very assertive and specific. Okay. Number three, give people a few options. Say something like, I really need help taking care of mom. Here are some specific ways I need help. And then list them. And then ask, would you be willing to help me and mom by doing one of these things? And you could even add, you know, add a qualifier like this week, this month, or today, or, you know, what have you. You see, I love this quote that HealthyPlace.com said, and it's sometimes you don't realize you're actually drowning when you're trying to be everyone else's anchor. Sometimes you don't realize you're actually drowning when you're trying to be someone else's or everyone else's anchor. And having that list of things and ways that people can help and having people in mind that have either offered to help in the past or you believe maybe, you know, could help or should help or would like to help, and you being specific with your ask are three huge ways to watch the support roll in. Tip number four is take a no answer as a no for now. So it can be really upsetting for you as a family caregiver when someone is unable or unwilling to help. But it's, you know, it's not worth straining your relationship over. And it may be that they're going through a difficult time and you maybe aren't aware of it. Or maybe the person has overextended themselves and they're trying to create healthy boundaries for themselves. Maybe the timing just isn't right. Perhaps the thing you ask them to do isn't something they feel they can commit to. And that's actually a good thing when somebody says no, because if they say yes to you, but they really don't want to do it, they might not commit to it, and then things might fall through, and then you might end up being more stressed. So I would much rather get a no for now, than a yes that is half-hearted. So there are lots of reasons you get a no answer. Just remember not to take it personally and put them back on the list to rotate for another ask later. But I would ask them. I would say, okay, no, I appreciate that, your honesty, and I appreciate you, you know, honoring yourself. Can I put your name back on my list, you know, and rotate for a future date? And if they say no, great. Then you know. Then it's a no, not a no for now. If they say sure, then you know it's a no for now. Here's my ninja tip that has really helped family caregivers in a huge, huge way. It helps the caregivers and it helps the care receiver. One of the best things, so this is tip five, have a list of 3 to 5 emergency contacts. One of the best things you can do to promote your peace of mind and the person receiving care is to have a list on the refrigerator and in your phone and anywhere else of 3 to 5 people who have agreed to receive calls 24/7, 365. They will be there in case of emergency, a scheduled procedure, other scheduled event. These people may not be family, but they are your lifeline. And I would recommend including their name, their mobile telephone numbers, alternative phone numbers, and perhaps an email if you want to send an email out to them. But definitely a name and number. These people will be there to watch the little ones, get kids off to school if you can't be there, take care of your loved one, you know, handle things if you have to take your loved one to the emergency room or you need to receive care and somebody needs to be there to watch your loved one. When you know that you have people on speed dial that will help at a moment's notice, it makes all the difference in the world. Truly, truly. So, if you don't have that list, I would recommend starting there, getting your list of 3 to 5 emergency contacts who are going to be there. These are your ride or die people, okay? Then, in summary, make sure you review, you know, identify all the ways that people can help you in your specific situation. Document it, whatever way that works best for you. Then ask, you know, get rally your support system and start asking away and asking people if they'd like to help. Be specific. Make sure the person understands what would be most helpful to both you and the caregiving recipient. Ask if they'd like to help and how you can count on them. And then release and let go and watch the support roll in. I realize it's not always easy asking for help. It used to be that asking for help was about as easy as rowing uphill for me. Seriously. I learned how to ask for and receive help. This is the time to reach out. Your sanity and health depend on your ability to maintain your overall wellness. Did you know that a majority of caregivers actually fall ill or die before the people that they are taking care of? Self-care is wildly important, and asking for and receiving help is part of that practice. Remember, your loved one's quality of life also depends on your well-being and the ability to rally your support system. So, I hope that this episode has been helpful for you. I hope that you have been able to take at least one useful nugget and apply it in your life today. If there are specific things that topics or specific things that you'd like to hear more about on this podcast, feel free to reach out to me. You can connect with us on our Facebook page at Empowered Family Caregiver. All of these podcast episodes are going to be there as well, so you can comment and engage there. If you're a family caregiver, I invite you to join my private Facebook group at Empowered Family Caregiver. That's facebook.com/groups/empoweredfamilycaregiver. And I'd like to give a shout out to Caregiving Podcast Network for this podcast. And thank you so much for listening. I am so grateful you're here. And until next time, stay empowered and calm.